Hi, and welcome to the First Intuition Student Podcast. On this week's show, the focus is on what we can do when we're waiting for exam results and how using this time effectively can supercharge our studies. We record our podcast every Wednesday in front of an audience of students via Zoom. If you want to join our next recording, please see the show notes for details. Good evening, Ben. How are you today?
Good evening, Dave. I am very, very well. Another busy week. Some virtual classes so far this week for me, teaching ICAW case study. And I'm back in invigilating and doing ID checks for physical AAT exams in centre tomorrow, which is always a nice day for me to get out of home to go and see some students behind a mask, but at least get some interaction with some real people, not my family. I love my family, but it's nice to see some other people from time to time. How's your week going, David?
It's been good. I have not had a huge amount of teaching this week, so I've been able to catch up with things. I've been doing lots of evening classes and things like that, but during the weekday, I've been able to catch up with some things. And as you well know, we've got it's kind of one of those super weekends coming up, isn't it? We've got, over the course of 4 days, we've got, starting on Thursday, we've got AAT exam results coming out, and we also have SEMA strategic case study exams coming out. And then 24 hours later, it's ICAW professional exams are being released on Friday. Then Saturday, we take a breath, and then Sunday night, ACCA exams from the September sitting are coming out as well. So we've got all of the institutes that we teach and all the institutes that our students are studying towards all releasing exams within a 4-day period. And you know, I know on this, you know, on this podcast next week, our plan is very much going to be, right, it's results. What do we do if we pass? What do we do if I'm successful? And this week, I thought what we'd look at is, what do we do in the time when we're waiting for an exam? Because I think that's sometimes time that we don't really consider and think about enough. And I've, you know, had a few students that have spoken to me about what they'll be doing while they're waiting for an exam. And I'm not always convinced it's really the most useful or effective use of that time. But I think before we start there, I have got a couple of people that are in our audience today. So those of you that are listening, we do record this in front of a live Zoom audience. And correspondent Emma has commented, how are we doing in the charts, Ben? And Ben, do you know where we are in our particular category in the podcast charts right now?
I don't know where we are now. I know where we were. I believe we were up to 5th place last week in the charts, weren't we? Which was our highest chart position ever.
Absolutely. So we're going through this process of at certain points of the week, really reaching up and getting a high point and then dropping down over the course of a week. But for all of this week, we maintained 5th position. And then suddenly, I think it was just within the last 24 hours, we've jumped up and we've grabbed 4th place in the podcast chart, ever closer to that Christmas number one that I think we all want to achieve.
Just outside the medal position, if this was Olympics, isn't it? Which is always the worst place to be, 4th. So we need to get up to at least 3rd to get a bronze medal.
Absolutely. But as you said, it's all about Christmas number one, and you don't want to peak too early. You don't want to peak too soon. You know, you don't want to go into Christmas overcooked, as I believe the Olympic phraseology is. We want to be peaking at the right moment. And one thing I did notice, and I don't know if this listener's here because I can't see the details of the listener, but someone commented on our last podcast, and I don't know if it was by accident or not. They said coffee break Spanish was listed in the comments against the podcast. Now, you know, we always talk about Coffee Break Spanish as being our nemesis in the podcast chart that we need to make sure that we beat, because they're the ultimate competition. And I'm hoping that someone didn't hear us talk about them and then immediately went to search for that particular podcast and accidentally put it into comments. Okay, I'm just hoping that they commented that that was one of the funny things that we were talking about. But I dare say we'll find out over the next week. Okay, so Ben, results are coming out at the end of this week. And I think that you kind of spoke to a student earlier this week that talked to you about exactly the issue I think a lot of students have around that pre-exam results kind of time. So I don't know if you want to share with me kind of what you talked about earlier this week.
Definitely. I think to put this in context, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are aware, but some might not be. All of the qualifications we teach for have got an element of at least some, and actually some of the qualifications, pretty much the majority of their exams are ones where you don't get your result instantly. So we know from the synoptics at AAT and the level four AAT exams, there is a 6 to 8 week wait to get your result from sitting the exam before you know whether you are competent or not. For CIMA, the case studies have got to go away, be marked, and you get your results in due course. The vast majority of ACCA and ICAW, certainly the middle to later papers, you've got this wait for results. And you're exactly right, it does present a bit of a challenge that we get asked quite a bit. And it really dawned on me, the conversation you're alluding to was actually last week when I was in for the exam invigilation team. For those of you that listen regularly, you know occasionally I go into our Cambridge Centre and I'm part of the 3-person team that does the exams for AAT students. And I was in and I was actually doing the ID checks when students come in. So I'm wearing a mask, students wearing a mask, but they come in, we get them to sanitize their hands and then we ID check them. And I always have a bit of a chat with them behind my mask because I have to allow a bit of time for the student in front to get up the stairs before I send the next one into the building. And I was having a chat with one student and they said, oh, it's the first level four exam I've done. So I was kind of just having a general chat about AAT level four and was wishing them luck. And as he walked away from me, he said, yeah, but Ben, I guess I'll now just have to wait for the result. And it got me thinking, and I mentioned it to you, actually, is that what students genuinely do? Do they just sit around waiting for 6 weeks for their result? Or do they think, well, I've got 6 weeks before I'm going to know what constructively can I do with my time between now and then? And that's really going to be what we're going to have a chat about tonight, because I know you've got some ideas, Dave. I've got some stock things that I would normally suggest students look at. So the theme for tonight is, do we just sit and wait, or is there other stuff we could be thinking of doing? And if so, what is that other stuff that me and you would be suggesting?
Yeah, I mean, for me, straight away, I'm screaming, don't do that. Waiting 6 weeks for your results and not doing anything in that time. I just think I would expect most students are going to be aiming for or looking at doing, say, four exams over the course of a year. And if you add that up, that's four lots of 6 weeks that you've got to wait. So four lots of six is how much, Ben?
That's 24 weeks, Dave.
Actually, that's 24 weeks of inaction. That's 24 weeks of not studying. Okay, now that's what I think. We did the maths earlier. Okay, that's what percentage of a year?
Well, if we've got 52 weeks in a year and you're waiting around for results, not studying actively for 24 of them, that's 46%. That's nearly half of a year
Yep.
that students are not studying because they're waiting for results from stuff they've already done.
Absolutely. So if I said to you, Ben, that if you didn't wait 6 weeks and you spent those 6 weeks doing study for your exams, you are doubling the amount of study that you can do. Do you think doubling the amount of study you can do in a year is going to improve your chances of being successful in any qualification?
I think it's going to have two factors. Chances are it's going to improve your chance of passing the next unit, but it's also massively going to bring forward the date that you get to the end of the qualification and speed up your journey through. And they're really the two biggest things I think students are faced with, aren't they?
Yeah.
The what seems like forever getting to the end and sitting their finals exams, and the fear factor of not doing enough work for the exams they're currently studying. And so to let those 6 weeks slip is kind of failing on both of those counts, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's something like ACCA, where you're waiting 6 weeks and then you start studying for your next unit. Well, the first thing you've got to do is get your mindset back into studying, but you've waited 6 weeks before you're starting the next one. So you've pushed your studies on 6 weeks and then another 6 weeks and then another 6 weeks. Okay. And just that compounded effect across five exams or six exams that you're doing, suddenly you're qualifying, best part of half a year, more than half a year later than you ordinarily would. For those of you that are doing things like ACCA, ACCA exams are once a quarter. Okay, now a quarter of a year is 13 weeks. So you've got 13 weeks from one exam sitting to the next. If you're waiting 6 weeks to get your results, that means you've got to condense all of your studies into a 7-week period. You're halving the amount of time you've got to prepare yourself for an exam. Okay, so you're making it more challenging and more difficult for yourself. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, when you've done the exam, yes, you need to have some downtime. Yeah, absolutely. You've got to decompress. You've got to get yourself out of that mindset of I've been, you know, really focusing on this one exam. But you can do that over a week. You could do that over a fortnight if you go on holiday. But get back into it sooner rather than later. Make the next exam easier.
100%. When I was doing some quick research this afternoon, knowing that we decided on the topic, I just typed into Google, like most of us would do, advice for waiting for results. And a few things popped up. But one thing that really jumped out at me was a quote. We love a sports quote on the FI podcast. We've had Michael Jordan in the past. We've had other famous sports stars. This one is from Muhammad Ali, the boxer. And a famous quote that really hit home to me today. The quote was, "Don't count the days. Make the days count." And when I read it, I was thinking, how many students have got results day on their calendar and have been crossing off every day as they get closer to it, but have not actually done anything constructive towards study or other things with their time? I think we're going to talk in a moment about, we're not saying that necessarily you've got to fill this 6 weeks with study. I think definitely it has its place, but there are other constructive things you could probably have done. But if all you've been doing is getting your red pen out and just crossing off the days, you've been counting the days, but not making them count for you. So big up to Muhammad Ali. And a nice quote. Let's get that one out there. Let's get it published. Don't count the days, make the days count.
Excellent stuff. So Ben, I mean, I've got a few ideas on this, but you know, why is it, do you think, that people are reluctant and students do wait until they get the results?
You used a big word on us this morning, Dave, when we were putting down some ideas and sending out the email. You used the word procrastination, which is a lovely word, but it kind of means this inability to do anything whilst you're waiting for something else. And I genuinely understand it. I understand why students have got this mindset potentially. I think there's a few reasons that you could dwell into if you really thought about, if you're sitting there now thinking, well, Ben and Dave are talking about me, I'm waiting for my result, but I've not done anything constructive to start thinking about the next unit. Ask yourself why. I know you're a great believer in this, that the kind of child mentality, we've both got young children and they are great at kind of grinding you down to get to the real reason why you've told them something by continually just asking you, well, why? But if you ask yourself why, I think fear of having failed the exam you've just done would probably be number one. If we were doing family fortunes and it was pinging up on the screen, I would say the most popular answer when we survey 100 students would be, oh, I don't want to start my next unit, Ben, because I am worried that I haven't yet passed the other one. And if the results go against me, I've got to do a resit. And I don't want to be worrying about a resit if I've started studying for another unit. How's that going to throw out my plans? Would you agree, Dave? Do you think that would probably be number one?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I do, and I annoy the hell out of all of my family, and particularly my wife for doing this, is whenever someone is worried or stressed about something in their work or something in terms of studying or something like that, I persistently ask that question, why? And what I kind of do is I almost map out a bit of a decision tree, okay, that goes through what are all the different outcomes that could happen. Okay, so we've got this 6-week period, and the outcome at the end of 6 weeks is either you pass or you fail. It's going to be one of the two of those things. So if you are studying for 6 weeks and you pass, and then you're going on to the next unit, how much easier is your life going to be when you actually get to do that exam? Because you've spent 6 extra weeks studying. Okay, your studying's already in a really good place when you've got that result. You're going into the next exam just supremely confident. Okay? The other option is you fail the exam. Now, you fail the exam, What would you have done if you hadn't studied? You'd be waiting to see if you failed the exam. Okay, and it's not as if the way your brain works, it doesn't say if you start studying something else for 6 weeks, it doesn't push everything else out of your head. Your knowledge is still there. The knowledge that you had is still there, and it still erodes at a similar pace if you're not using it, regardless of what else you're doing. So I don't see you in any different position at the end of 6 months if you picked up a book for another subject or you haven't. Okay, the only difficult choice you've got if you're unsuccessful is what do you do with the thing you've been studying versus the thing you need to reset? That's the only difficult question that you've got. Okay, but isn't that a better question to have at the end of 6 weeks than, oh, now I definitely have to reset? You've got more options at the end of 6 weeks. You're really enjoying the new subject. You're doing really, really well. Let's push on and sit that. And then let's plan for a resit the exam after that. You've got far more options than if you just sit there waiting nervously for an exam result that comes in and then you're unsuccessful. So that's something I always do. And I do it with my kids. I do it with my wife. I just sketch out these crazy decision trees of what if, what if, what if. And at the end of every single one of them, if you can look at the what if and think, actually, that's not a bad outcome. That's not a bad outcome. In fact, none of those are bad outcomes. Why don't I just go ahead and do it?
Cool. So if we were going back to the other reasons why, financial concerns. I know a lot of our students fund their qualifications themselves or part fund them in conjunction with employer support. And I suppose the outlay of another course, the new material, might put people off until they know for certain they've passed the last one. Have you got any views on the financial issues that maybe students are facing and using that as a reason not to book their next unit before they know they've passed the one they're waiting for a result on?
Yeah, there's a question that Ina's got here saying that she's confused. Am I saying studying for the same exam where you wait for a result? No, I wouldn't. If you've taken the exam, then I would be looking at what is the next exam that I'm going to take and prepare yourself for that next exam. That's what I'd be looking for. Because, you know, all the time, you know, while you're in a position where you may well have passed that exam. And if you've studied, the chances are you have passed the exam. I would look at the next thing, okay, and get yourself ready for the next exam. But in terms of financial concerns, Ben, I think that's real. Yeah, I think absolutely. If you are funding yourself, and you're thinking, I've got to shell out for a new set of books or a new course or, you know, some kind of new online course or anything like that. And you're thinking, well, do I want to pay the money now to enroll for something that when the results come out, I may end up doing a reset instead? And does that mean that my money is wasted? And well, the first thing that I would look at is however you're studying, you can future-proof that. So I know it's something that you and I come across all the time is, you know, students saying to us, well, what if I'm unsuccessful and I'm unable to do this exam in December? Then my first thought is always, well, just come on the course to March. You know, we have people that defer courses and move on to other courses. We extend people's online access. We allow all those things. The thing to watch out for is if that is a likelihood, just make sure that you're studying the right syllabus. Just make sure you're not studying a subject where the syllabus is going to change in 3 weeks' time or 2 weeks after the exam. Okay, so that's the kind of research you should be doing. So right now, if I was doing ICAW, I would be saying probably if you're worried about a result, maybe tax compliance isn't the best exam to do to December if it's changing in December. Okay, but yeah, absolutely. I would look at who are you studying with? How are you studying? If you're buying a textbook, make sure the textbook is going to last you. So make sure it's not an exam, a textbook that's going to be obsolete by the end of the year.
I suppose then that the next why that I hear a lot of is, oh, I just need a break. And I get that. I understand that. I think you alluded to it earlier by saying we fully understand once you've sat an exam, you probably do want a week, 2 weeks off. But a week, 2 weeks is not the full 6 weeks before you get your results. So I liked your idea of, yeah, give yourself a week, a fortnight off, have your holiday, do something different. But then in week 3, 4, 5, 6 before results, there's still plenty of time. I think you did another maths device on me, counting up the number of days that 6 weeks would be. And you said, even if you could learn one new thing a day, you staggered me with the number of new things you would have. Just go through that with everybody, because it
So if you've got 6 weeks, obviously we all know seven days in a week. So seven times six, that's a total of what, 42 days. Now, I'm pretty sure that if I spent 5 minutes with you, Ben, every day for 42 days, I could teach you a new fact every single day. It wouldn't take me a long time to teach you that fact. You could spend that 5 minutes making sure that you understand that fact and reviewing it and making sure you make notes on it or doing a question on it or whatever, just for 5 minutes. 42 days later, that is 42 facts that I've told you. That could be 42 definitions for law. That could be 42 definitions for audit. That could be 42 different IFRS titles that you've learned. It could be 42 different benefits in kind that you've learned for income tax. Okay, so that's the kind of scale that we've got just by doing a little bit of work every single day over that time period where a lot of people are taking a rest, are waiting for results. And there's a lovely comment, Ben, that someone's just posted to me privately, where someone's been listening to another ACCA podcast, where they talk about the fact that habits are key to keep studying. And I think I read somewhere that if you do something every day, I think it's for about 20 days in a row, that's when it becomes habitful. And that's when you're less likely to drop it and less likely to stop and more likely to continue to do that thing. So by continuing to study a little bit every day, okay, we're going to know so much more when everyone else is getting their results. And we know, you know, ultimately these exams, they're a bit of a competition. You know, it's a bit of you up against the rest of the world. And if you're already getting your results and you're already getting a head start on the competition, then you know, you're miles better in terms of a position.
Definitely. I heard another one of my cult heroes this weekend. Did anyone hear Mr. Motivator? He was doing the rounds on the radio and on the TV because he was named in the Queen's New Year's Honours list that was announced at the weekend. And he's got a special award. But he was talking about that, how exercise and well-being has to be habitual. And he said it's no more than just finding, if you can do 5 minutes every day, it becomes part of your life and doesn't become a chore, doesn't become anything other than just something that you routinely do. And I thought that was fantastic. Just some other bits in the chat box. I can see Abby's asking, it's probably one more for next week with regards to what the strategy would be if you had failed. I will refer you to next week's podcast, Abby. Come back and join us where we will be talking about that. But very quickly, my usual reaction is to students, how much of a fail was it? Because failing an exam is not the same for everybody. Was it a close fail or was it a fail where you've clearly got quite a bit more work to do? But I'm not going to step on the toes of what Dave's got lined up for us next week. So I'll leave it there if that's okay. So we've looked at the reasons why, some of the standard reasons we hear from students as to why they haven't started doing anything. I suppose when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, right, if I was speaking to students then coming into this 6 weeks wait on average for results, what sort of tips would I be sharing with them? So whether you're going to start studying it or not, and everything that me and Dave have said so far is we would recommend that, yes, you do. You at least want to be researching which is the next unit you're going to do. You really, really can't afford to be in the worst case position that you get your result and you've passed, and then you start asking questions about which unit am I going to study next. There is no excuse, whether or not you've started studying it, not to know what the next unit in your plan is. And that's where having a chat with myself, with Dave, with your tutor, with colleagues that are studying. But quite often, the qualifications we teach now are relatively flexible, that papers can be done in various combinations of orders. But there's usually one that me and Dave would say, well, the nice one to follow on after that is this. And so start doing that research at least once you've sat your most recent exam. You need to know what the next one is, even if you're not going to start studying it straight away. My second piece of advice was, usually students' perception of how the exam's gone is worse than the reality of results. And I know me and Dave occasionally can be accused of being overly positive. And I do appreciate it's easy for us to say we're not the ones that are getting our results this weekend coming. But I can guarantee, guys, I get more nervous now for the results that my students get than I ever did when I was a student getting my own results. But I think we have got to be positive. We're hearing that word a lot at the moment out in the wider world with what's going on. But I think on the whole, students should be positive and think best case scenario for the results. I'm not being flippant there. I'm not downplaying the importance of the results. But in my experience, most students that said, oh, that was a borderline exam, it could go either way, in the vast majority of cases, I think they would be a pass. I don't know if you would echo that with your experience speaking to students, Dave.
I do agree. I mean, I think sometimes there are times when students have told me that they think they've been unsuccessful. And when they've talked their way through the exam with me, they have been unsuccessful. But generally, that's when, and it's generally when there is a timing issue that I tend to know that a student's been unsuccessful. If they tell me I didn't answer the last question in the exam, that's when I become really concerned. So if someone's told me they've completed every question, they weren't too sure about, you know, part A or question one, that normally means you've got hung up on one thing. It normally means, oh, right, they had a least calculation to do in question one, but that wasn't the crux of the question. The main part was, could they do the corporation tax calculation? And the least part was a minor element of it. But I think as you said there, Ben, that you are very nervous for your students when they're receiving results, more so than when you were studying. I personally found the most challenging and most difficult part of studying my professional exams was waiting for exam results. And, you know, a lot of that goes to the history that we talked about before on the earlier podcast about, you know, how I, you know, failed part of my degree. And that failure really resonated all the way through my professional exams, that every time I sat an exam, the nerves around receiving that result just built and built and built and built. So I understand the anxiety that you can have going into those exams. But that questioning we talked about of, you know, well, let's worst case scenario it. Let's say you did fail and you've been studying for 6 weeks for another exam. Where's the harm in it? You know, what actually is the harm in that, in you learning something new in that time period that's going to be useful in your professional career and your qualifications?
100%. And links actually to my next tip, something you've already mentioned this evening, but I'm going to say it again. Just look at the syllabus updates. That would be my one concern about you jumping in guns blazing for the next unit and then getting a result and having to use Dave's decision tree to think, do I resit? Do I take the new paper? What you don't want to do is be backed into a corner that the new unit you've started studying, you've only got limited time to now sit it before the syllabus updates. All of the institutes give students plenty of warning that at the point you book and buy a new study unit, you should be able to ask your training provider, ask me, ask Dave, ask your tutor, how long is this material going to be valid for? When is the syllabus due to be updated by the awarding body? Because we will know that and you should be able to find out that information. So that was number three, because that is quite important if you then have to defer an exam, to know that your deferral will still be under the same syllabus, the same material that you've invested some time already studying. My fourth tip is to just look at dates of courses. One of the perpetual problems of us planning the course dates for the live sessions that we do is, when do we start the next round of courses? And we always hedge our bets in a way that we will have some courses starting before the release of results for the last round, but chances are we'll have a few courses that start just after to catch anyone that has waited for results before they want to decide what to do. But there's no excuse for you not researching when would the next unit start, looking at the course dates, contacting your usual training provider, getting some information about when the next program start date is, because you don't want to miss that. And we're usually talking matter of days, either before or after results, that the next round of courses have started. And nothing is more frustrating for someone coming to us and they've just missed the start of the next round of courses by a couple of days, and they're now on the back foot for the next unit. Another big plug, those of you that have been with us from the start of lockdown know I am a big champion of the practical experience requirement that both SEMA and ACCA have got. ICAW students, you've also got some workplace relevant stuff that you need to do as part of your training contract. Anyone listening to me that's an apprentice has got their apprenticeship portfolio and submissions of other work as well to do alongside their professional exam qualifications. And so I can see a place for using some of the waiting around for results to be used to get that stuff up to speed. If anyone wants any more information about PER, check out my previous blog, go to our FI Hub and you'll find the blog I wrote on PER. And I'll probably do something this side of Christmas just to do another update on it. Not that the rules have changed, but just really as a catalyst to get students thinking about getting that practical experience stuff documented, getting it on their training log, because that's going to speed up your end qualification as well, because you need to submit that before you get your certificate. There we go. There was a roundup of some of the things that I thought about. Is there anything, Dave, that you would like to add in this 6 weeks?
Well, I've just, again, looking at our chat menu, there's someone that's messaged me, and they've messaged me privately. I'm just going to kind of go through some of the message. And so, because what I thought we'd do, Ben, is we'd break down kind of or kind of what I think this person should do. So I've got someone that's saying they're new to the world of accountancy, and they've just received their learning materials for AAT level 2. So I'm assuming they're the learning materials we're looking at are pretty bookkeeping transactions. Open the folder, I've got scared, and it's been closed ever since. I'm a hardcore procrastinator, don't know where to start, and need to be pushed in the right direction. So, to be honest, I think the biggest step you've taken is the most important one. And you've taken that step to make a change, to do something, and you've actually taken positive action towards doing it by signing up to a course and by making that step. And that's a huge step. Loads of people don't ever make that step. So the first thing is, you should be happy that you've decided to make that the focus of what you want to do. What I would do, and if you were sitting down with me next to you, if you were sitting next to me right now, and there's no one here now, so there's plenty of room, I would open your folder with you, and I would go to the contents page, and if memory serves, bookkeeping transactions got, I think, 11 chapters in it. And I would go through those 11 chapters and I would put dates by each of them. And I'd work with you and I would say, okay, chapter number one is about 10 pages long. How long is it going to take you to go through 10 pages worth of work? And, you know, I think 10 pages, you know, even if, you know, if we're thinking, I want to watch some online lectures to review, I want to study the notes, I want to do the examples, I'm thinking that if you put aside 3 evenings, you would be able to master 10 pages worth of work. Okay, after you've mastered those 10 pages worth of work, I'd say, right, you need another 2 days, another 2 evenings, and we're only looking at maybe an hour in an evening, maybe 45 minutes in an evening. Now go to the question bank and do all the questions on chapter number one. Those questions are only going to be about that 10 pages worth of work. And that means that by the time you're back here next week, you will have mastered all of chapter number one. Okay, so that's a week's time, you will have mastered the first chapter. And that's 1 out of 11. We're still a long way from knowing absolutely everything, but we're now 1 chapter down. Okay, and that's just committing to 2 pages, 3 pages worth of study tonight, 2-3 pages worth of study tomorrow, 2-3 pages worth of study the next day. And that over 3 days means you've mastered chapter number one. Now you're here this time next week, you can message me and you can say, hey, Dave, I did what you said. I've covered all of chapter one. I've done the questions. And first time I did the questions, I got 60%, okay, which I wasn't very happy with, but I did them again, and then I got 80%. But then I wasn't happy, and I did them again, and now I've got 95%, okay? And brilliant, you've mastered chapter number one. Now we're back here next week, okay? I'd sit down and say, okay, chapter number two. Chapter number two is slightly bigger, okay? Because that's when we do some of the technical calculations. So maybe we're now looking at 20 pages worth of work. Well, 20 pages, could we do that in a week? And you might say, well, actually, at this stage, I'm just feeling my way into it. I'd rather keep myself a little bit longer. So I'm going to do 3 pages a day until I've covered all 20 pages. And then I'm going to be doing question practice, covering that material for another 3-4 days after that. So in 2 weeks' time, after that, I will then see you and I've done question two, chapter two. But it's all about Just doing manageable little chunks, little and often, it's going to get you there. If you look at that folder and say, oh, that's nearly 200 pages worth of text, how the hell am I going to get through it? You won't get through it. But if you look at it as, I'm only going to do 2 pages, I'm going to master those 2 pages, okay, and then I'm going to go on to something else.
Okay. And that really supports starting early, doesn't it? If you're going to take that approach, these 6 weeks that we're talking about, while you're potentially waiting for the results of another exam, are all important for the people that want to do this kind of little and often approach. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. People that are waiting to start doing that until they've got their confirmed result from the last one are missing out on that extra couple of hours here, couple of hours there in those weeks, very quickly builds up to getting a good grasp of the syllabus. Really, really good tip.
Excellent. I'm just kind of responding to a message there. Someone has just asked me if I could be their tutor, which is very flattering, but unfortunately, I'm not convinced that I'm actually able to do that right now in terms of what I'm currently teaching and whether I'll be able to actually focus on me. So I'm actually just going to drop you a message. If you can let me know who your current tutor is, and then I can have a little chat with you about that later on. So thanks for that message. But I just think that's, you've done the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing is taking the first step. And everything after that, then becomes slightly easier the more we take that action.
Fantastic. Well, time is getting on. We've got, it's nearly 10 to 7. And as those regular listeners know, at 7 o'clock, I have to disappear off to go and do another revision session for some level 3 AAT students. The final thing I really wanted to say tonight, for those of you that are regular listeners, I quite often ask my daughters at dinner time, or Daddy's doing a podcast on this, what are your thoughts? And so I asked them this evening what they would recommend students do, thinking about the night before you get your exam results. This is coming up to peak stress. When I was doing some Googling today, they said the day before your exam results is the most stressful day in the whole exam process. That was the theory. And I know you guys have got a stressful weekend coming up. Sasha, my 9-year-old daughter, suggested 3 things. And actually, in the research I did this morning, a lot of these things were the things that were recommended by the scientists as well. So following the science seems to be a bit of a buzzword at the moment. The first thing she suggested was the day before your results, get out and do some exercise. Get out and do some exercise, freshen yourself up. She suggested star jumps. That's probably what a 9-year-old would think about exercise, but go for a walk, get your bike out, do something. Second thing she said was do something fun. So the day before the results come out, watch a movie. She suggested playing the video game Roblox with her friends online. You can try that if you want, but do something for you, whatever it is that takes your mind off it. And the third thing, and probably the thing that hit me home most, was she said, talk to someone about it. Share that you're getting your results today with your friends, with your family, because they're only going to want to encourage you. They're only going to want to give you positive energy. And so tell people, I've got results coming out. I think sharing that, I feel really concerned this time, knowing that we're still in a state of lockdown in parts of the country. People are still concerned about going out, not going out as much. I think it will be horrible if the day you're getting your results that you just sat there on your own without anyone else knowing that you're getting your results today, and you probably feel a bit jittery. So I encourage you to speak to someone, drop me and Dave an email that morning if you want and say, hi guys, I'm just waiting for the results. We'll be around, but talk to someone about it. Don't sit there, don't worry. And then the big message is join us again next week, where we're going to be talking about the post-results process, which is going to be important for all of you. So don't let that worry you. Myself and Dave will be here again next week. If results have gone great, we will celebrate. If results have not gone as well, we will give you advice, guidance, support. Just be here to listen to your worries and proactively try and help you get back into the unit and study for a resit. Any final thoughts from you, Dave, tonight?
No, I think exactly as you said about next week. I always, you know, I always enjoy results day. I always enjoy hearing the positive stories of when people are successful and they pass and all of those things. But I think as we've heard over the past kind of like 3 months worth of podcasts that are out there, when we talk to SEMA Prize winners, we had the student Christina that joined us. When you actually spend the time interviewing me, Ben, I think on all of those, we've got people that have qualified as an accountant who, when we all of us looked back at which exams were the most important to us, for all of us, it was the exams that we failed. And it was the exams that, you know, when we failed, how we responded to them. And, you know, for me, it was kind of like I've always felt that. It was great to hear from Christina, who spent 2.5 years failing the same exam and yet still pushed through and is now qualified. And it was amazing to hear two SEMA Prize winners. Both of them spoke more about exams that they failed than the exam that they just won a prize in, which I just think is absolutely crazy. But you know, it is, you know, it's so true. It's the exams that you know, when we come across when we face adversity and we face failing an exam and being disappointed, you know, how we react to it really does define us. So, you know, those of you that you know are unsuccessful, you know, over the next few days, then you know it's happened to all of us. You know, I would say go listen to, if you wanted to listen to the episode that I did on me, listen to Christina's episode, listen to the SEMA Prize Winners podcast, because they're all telling the same thing. They've all failed exams. We've all gone on to be okay at the end of it. If you passed, well done. Really, really good job. I say, if you're unsuccessful, just, you know, take solace in the fact that it's happened to all of us. Okay, we've all had times where we haven't been successful.
Fantastic. Well, I think it ends for me to say good luck to everybody. If you're listening to this and you haven't got your results, really, really good luck. Hopefully they go well. And for everybody, just think about Dave's stat of potentially 46% of the year you will be waiting for results. That's a lot of time that you could be constructively doing something else with. So I'll leave you with that thought and I will say good evening. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, share the podcast with your friends, with your colleagues, and I will hand over to Dave for his closing thought.
Absolutely. As Ben says, subscribe, download, leave reviews. If you are a listener and you haven't left a review, please leave a review. We love to see positive reviews. Or if you've got any negative reviews, leave those. Any comments would be absolutely brilliant. But thank you so much for choosing to spend your time with us. Ben and I really, really appreciate the fact that you do spend time with us either here live on a Wednesday or spend time listening to us when you're out running, walking your dog, having a bath, driving, whatever you're doing. Okay, so thank you so much. We will see you next week. Good luck with your results. Okay, and it's goodbye from both of us.